Romans chapter 8 and verse 31. You learn as a Christian that victory comes from surrendering to God or yielding to the Holy Spirit and not letting our flesh control us. You learn that in Romans 8. And this whole sermon isn't out of that chapter, but it's a wonderful chapter in your Bible. As we come to the end of the chapter then, God encourages us by telling us in verse 37 what we are and what we need to be striving for in spite of our failures. Verse 37 says, "In all these things we are more than conquerors through Him, Jesus, that loved us." And it's just a wonderful verse. God tells us what we are, and because of that, then verse number 38 and 39, He gives us a list there of all the things that, praise God, cannot separate us. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. So Christian, this morning I wanted to tell you, don't quit trying to be victorious. Don't quit trying to be a Spirit-filled Christian because, praise the Lord, nothing can separate you from the love of God. We're more than conquerors through Him. The word conqueror means one who gains possession of a country by force. That's a conqueror, if you conquer something. One who conquers an adversary and is the victor. That is a conqueror. Then God tells us in Revelation, I read Revelation 12:11, they overcame him, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb. God tells us how God's people conquer Satan during the revival of the tribulation. There's coming a big revival. I don't think we're in a revival now, but there is coming one, a worldwide revival. And after the rapture, then this breaks loose and God tells us how they gained victory over Satan. And that's Revelation 12. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. The word overcome means to overpower or overwhelm in any contest or struggle. One of the definitions of the word overcome means to conquer. And so that's why I tied them together. In Romans 8, we're told we're more than conquerors. And in Revelation 12, it says they overcame or conquered Satan by the blood of the Lamb. A Christian who is seeking to follow the Lord and serve the Lord has many obstacles to fight against. This world and its evil, all the social evils, all the political evils, all the education evils, the media, all of that. You combine the world and its evil with our sin nature and the evil that's in our flesh. And God tells us, Christian, when you got saved, for you to be successful, you have a fight on your hands. You cannot be a piece of driftwood passively floating down the river, doing whatever comes natural. If that happens, you go nowhere in the Christian life. It takes an uphill struggle to grow spiritually. God tells us to be strong and fight. In Ephesians chapter 6, God says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." 2 Timothy 2:3 says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." The Apostle Paul told us at the end of his life, before he got his head cut off, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. I fought." In other words, he wasn't saying, I'm wanting to die. He just said, "I'm ready to die because I have fought as hard as I could for the Lord." You see, every evil and sin must be fought against aggressively as a Christian. We also have to fight immediately if we're going to enjoy being a Christian. Let me make this statement. You don't fight sin to get saved. You fight sin because you're saved. That's very important to understand that. Satan doesn't fight everyone every day. But he has many evil spirits under his control, and he is the small g god of this world or system. So he has many tools and avenues with which to destroy. Because Satan has so many devils at his command, it seems like he's everywhere, but he's not. Satan can only be in one place at one time. He is not omnipresent. It just seems like he's everywhere, but he's not. Satan, okay, does not attack every Christian. Listen closely. Satan only fights those that serve the Lord. Why would Satan try to stop you if you're not doing anything? If you're not serving, if you're not giving of yourself, then Satan has you right where he wants you.
He goes, good, that's one more Christian I don't have to fiddle with. I got plenty others that are trying to serve the Lord, trying to go soul winning, trying to go forward for the Lord. He focuses on those. So it's amazing how much Satan gets blamed for. Someone who's not serving the Lord will say, well, the devil's just really working in my life. Probably not. Sounds like your flesh. Sounds like you're your worst enemy. And that's true with all of us. Amen. All of us struggle with ourselves much more. You know, we'll struggle with ourselves and then we'll blame it on the devil. The devil didn't do that. You did that. So don't give the devil more credit than he's due. When Satan does attack you, it's a very painful attack and it's very dark. No door can shut him out. And he can meet you in every weakness that you have. And when you least expect it, he can leave you with wounds that take a long time to heal. It becomes a wonderful occasion when God gives you victory to praise the Lord. It doesn't matter how big or how powerful or experienced Satan is. You must resist and fight the devil. And somebody said, you know, I heard somebody say, and I haven't heard somebody say it for about 15 years, but I heard a Christian say, I don't like focusing on the war aspect of Christianity. You do because you were in the Marine Corps. But me, I like the love and the passive part of Christianity. And I couldn't believe they were saying that. I said, how do you live the Christian life? When you got saved, you gained an enemy. You gained someone who's trying to destroy you. So somebody says, well, don't talk about the war part. Don't talk about being a soldier. Talk about love. And I'm sitting here going, you have to fight Satan. 1 John 4:4 says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Jesus teaches us when we pray. Matthew 6:13, Jesus said, pray this prayer, Lord, lead me not into temptation and deliver me from evil. Jesus said, pray that when you pray. Lord, protect me from those that are trying to destroy me. One of those people would be Satan. He said, pray the prayer. You have an enemy. Pray to fight and expect to fight. Because Satan is the enemy of God, you need the Lord to withstand the devil. If Satan cannot destroy you, he will try to terrorize you, listen, and wear you out with fear and worry over things you can't change. Okay, he knows you're saved. Now what's he try to do? Worry you to death. Well, I'm worried about this and I'm worried about that. I'm worried about this. I can't sleep at night because this is all I'm thinking about. If you don't sleep long enough, it will affect your health. And it can take your health from you. I like what John Wesley said. I would no more worry than I would cuss or swear. And when I do get so burdened that I can't sleep, then that tells me I'm not trusting the Lord. And I need to reevaluate what's going on. Because it will cost you, Christian, if you don't trust the Lord. As the power of darkness, he accuses the brethren day and night before God. That's in Revelation chapter 12, and I know we didn't turn there. The twofold work of Satan, his first work is deception. Getting you to see something that's not there. Getting you to see something that is never going to take place. Deceiving. Making you think it's there, but it's not. If you don't think his deception is strong, he deceived one-third of the angels in heaven and has led millions to hell by worshiping idols and demons throughout the centuries. His deception is strong. He is a strong deceiver. This is why Jesus called Satan a liar and a murderer in John 8:44. You would think that after thousands of years of lying that people would know what Satan's lies are. Things like this. Sex outside of marriage is sinful and will destroy you. That's an ancient, old lie. Oh, just live any way you want. It's going to be fine. That's an old lie. You would think people would be used to that, but they're not. They're still falling for it by the thousands. And the Bible tells us the sins of the flesh war against your soul, your personality, who you are, your joy, your peace. How about this lie? Spend time with anybody you want. Christian, be very careful with who you spend your time with. The wrong crowd will destroy you. That's an ancient, that's been happening for thousands of years. A companion of fools shall be destroyed. That's a promise of God. You would think people would get used to, that's a lie of the devil right there. Don't fall for that one. But they're falling for it by the thousands. By the thousands. Satan accused Job to God. And Satan accuses you when you try to serve the Lord. Satan says constantly, you can learn this from Job chapter 1, he tells God about you. They don't love you for who you are. They just love you for what you can do for them. You let them come into a struggle and a hard time. You let them suffer hardship and they will cuss you to your face. That's what Satan tells God every day about you and me. They don't love you. And God says, yes, they do. And they argue. You can get that out of Job chapter 1 in your Bible. Read it. Wonderful to think about. Christian, Satan is called the old serpent. Satan not only accuses the brethren day and night, but he tempts us. God helps us understand Satan by calling him the dragon. 13 times in the book of Revelation, Satan is called the dragon. He's not a mythical creature, but he is very mysterious in his agenda and how he works. He's so cunning, and Satan is so fierce and patient. He's extremely hard to fight because he's not flesh and blood. He isn't visible. It's hard to fight an enemy you can't see, but you know is present. The weapons we have against the devil are the blood and the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Word of God and prayer and fasting. Now, let me give you a verse that I think everybody can take your Bible and go to James chapter 4. Look at James chapter 4. The name of the sermon is More Than Conquerors Because of the Blood. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. You know, it's a beautiful thing in your Bible when you start learning if you will just tell Satan, no, I'm not doing that, it causes him to run. It would help if you would just learn one word. No, I'm not going to do that. No, I'm not going to say that. No, I'm not going to think that. No, I'm not going to run with them. No, I'm not going to listen. No! When you resist the devil, make some effort to say no. That the Bible teaches us that that is when he flees. Because he's looking for one of his elements is surprise. He's looking for those that aren't expecting it. Those that aren't on edge. Those that aren't aware of it. Oh, just, que sera, sera. Whatever will be. And Satan says, that's a target right there. I can play with them because they're not expecting it. They just take things as it happens. And they don't ever discern that's right and that's wrong. That's good and that's bad. They take it casually. Look at the next verse. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. What beautiful verses there. If I combine that verse, resist the devil, and he will flee from you, with Revelation 12:11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, then listen closely. Just listen to me. As powerful as Satan is, he is defeated when you determine you're going to stand against him and resist. That's what the Bible teaches me. Resist the devil and he will flee. It's not when you try to ignore the devil or just pretend he's not there. When it comes to Satan, you have to determine you're going to fight him or he will destroy you. You can't refuse to fight. You must fight or die. You can never rest until you overcome him. You have to gird up the loins of your mind to fight Satan or be his slave. You say, I'm saved. Would you take your Bible and go to 2 Timothy chapter 2? Watch this. 2 Timothy chapter 2. You're in James. Just go back about six books there. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Look at verse number 24. I know this is talking to pastors, but this is telling a pastor there are Christians who are taken captive by Satan at Satan's will. You say, well, Satan can't get to you if you're saved, not if you submit yourself and subject yourself to satanic atmospheres and satanic influences. If you listen to rock music willingly, you give Satan access to your mind. You say, well, I'm a child of God, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Then shut the hellish music off. It's putting bad thoughts in your mind. You can't, you say, well, I'm a child of God and Satan doesn't have access to me. Then get out of the nightclub. That's no place for a Christian. You cannot submit yourself to a satanic atmosphere that's dark and drinking and where people are looking for sex outside of marriage and then expect to come out walking, whoop, sure do love Jesus tonight. Are you kidding me? We live in a weird society. You mean you really thought you'd find Jesus in the nightclub? Get out of the atmosphere. Get out of it. Watch this. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. Look at verse 24. Watch this. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, watch, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. Remember I told you earlier in the sermon, who's your worst enemy? I'm my worst enemy, the guy I face in the mirror. You are your worst enemy. You give you more problems than Satan does. But Satan is not a foe to be not thought of and rejected. He's real. But if you're always opposing yourself, when you fight you, well, I just, you know, this statement, I just can't find myself. Really? Here, give yourself a... Okay, take this arm. Okay, now, give your... Okay, find you? You're right there. Okay? People who oppose themselves, they're their worst... I just couldn't help it. How come you're hanging around the wrong crowd? I just couldn't help it. So you are opposing yourself. Keep on reading. Look at verse number 26. And that they, those that are opposing themselves, may recover themselves out of the snare or trap of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Well, I'm a child of God, and Satan doesn't have access to me. He does if you don't watch where you run and where you what you say and what you listen to. If you submit yourself to a satanic atmosphere or a devil's atmosphere or a dark atmosphere, then yes, he has access to you. And he can take you anytime he wants you. I'm amazed at the drugs that are in homes now. Grass used to be something you cut with a lawnmower. You didn't smoke it. But it's legal. Really? So the basis how you determine right from wrong is if it's legal or not. What are you going to do? What are you going to do when they make they've brought it up? You know, this thing of making marijuana legal in the states, voting. So that's all it takes to make it right. That type of thinking will destroy a Christian. It was wrong before they ever voted on it. And it doesn't matter what they vote. It's still wrong. Homosexuality is still wrong. It doesn't matter what the Senate or the courts determine. It's always been wrong. And a Christian has to use this book for the measure of right and wrong, not, well, it's legal. My doctor prescribed it. I'm supposed to get high every day. Helps me with my stress. Really? First of all, when I get stressed, I need to know who your doctor is. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Okay, let's go back here. It says here, there are those that are that they need to recover themselves out of the trap of the devil. Interesting wording. I just love it. Who are taken captive by him at his will. Our text says this morning, Revelation 12:11. And they overcame him, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. How were they more than conquerors? How did they overcome the devil? The Bible plainly tells us the weapon that they used was the blood of the Lamb. Notice the weapon this morning. Are you ready? The blood of the Lamb means that the Son of God died for you. When you think of Jesus and His sufferings on the cross, you can't help but think of the blood. He left heaven to take our manhood and be born at Bethlehem. He grew as a child, lived here among us, eating and drinking, suffering and rejoicing, working and sleeping as all of us do. Then He died for your sins and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Jesus Christ was the Lamb of God's Passover for us. Revelation 1:18, I just love it when Jesus says, I am He that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. You see, we preach Christ because we were redeemed by His blood. Jesus poured forth His soul unto death and was numbered with the transgressors and put to a death of shame so that we would have a weapon to overcome the dragon. 1 Peter 2:24 says, who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. The death of Christ on the cross, praise God, was the defeat of Satan. Revelation 12:11, let me read it again. And they overcame him, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb. In the Old Testament, the Lamb was bought by the offender to make an atonement for his offense, and in his place, that Lamb was slain. That was a type of Christ taking your place, bearing your sin, and suffering in your stead. Jesus Christ died, the just for the unjust, to do what? Bring us to God. I love Isaiah 53. He was wounded for our transgressions. Isaiah 53 verse 5, the chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. The way of salvation for all men is to realize that Jesus was the substitute sacrifice for your sins, and He was cursed in your place. John 1:28, what did John the Baptist say? It says, 1:28 says, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold the Lamb of God, which what? Which taketh away the sin of the world. That's what the Lamb did, the Lamb of God. So the Son of God has come in the flesh and died for human sin, and He did not only make it possible for God to forgive, but He secured forgiveness for all who are in the Lord Jesus Christ. When Jesus died for you, you were delivered from the claim of death because of the law. And when Jesus rose again, your salvation was secured and made sure. The weapon to overcome Satan is the blood of the Lamb. Now, notice, I'm just referring back to Revelation 12:11. And they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb. Notice how they used it. And by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Think with me just for a second. The word of their testimony. So it's the blood of the Lamb that overcomes Satan, but it is you use the blood, first of all, in the word of your testimony. The blood of Jesus Christ isn't meant for us to put on display in our house. One, we don't have it, praise God. The precious blood of Christ is supposed to be used in your testimony. God said that Abel's blood spoke to Him. I don't know if you remember, but in Genesis 4, just listen, when Cain killed his brother Abel, it says, Cain talked with Abel his brother. It came to pass that they were in the field, and Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he, Cain, said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And God said, what hast thou done? Listen, the voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. I think that's worded just beautifully. God said, I hear Abel's blood screaming, I've been murdered. God hears blood. I think that's amazing. Take that one thought. If God heard Abel's blood speak, then God hears also the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, as the blood of Jesus says, paid in full, forgiven, peace. All of these sins were laid on me in the day of the Lord's anger, and I have taken them all away. That's what the blood of Jesus says to God. The atoning blood of Jesus is to be used to overcome sin and the devil. They overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. The word of your testimony is how you use the blood of Christ. Christian, just think with me just for a second. When was the last time you told somebody that you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb as a child of God? Do you understand what happens when you phrase it that way? I'm a child of God, washed in the blood of the Lamb. God says, that's the word of your testimony. You're testifying. God says, here, Satan hates to hear you talk that way. And so does the devil's crowd too, by the way. It's one thing, I'm glad, if you can tell others, I'm saved. I've trusted Jesus as my Savior. Glory to God. But man, go ahead and phrase it. I'm saved and I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Use that in the word of your testimony to do what? Overcome Satan. You conquered Satan by the Lord's victory. And you can have victory anytime you want to resist Satan. You, Christian, have a choice. You can beat and defeat the foe anytime you want. As a child of God, you've overcome him. Satan, death and hell in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, you're able to... Did you know this? You're able to overcome Satan as the accuser. I told you Satan has two jobs. First of all, he tries to deceive you. He's a very good deceiver. Getting you to see things that aren't there. What's the second job of the devil? Accusing the brethren. Did you know if you gain victory over this devil, God can give you victory over doing the sin of the devil, accusing others? It's amazing how many Christians don't control their tongue. You don't have to gossip and be negative. Satan wants to use your past to destroy you, and if he can't do that, then he'll try to get you to use somebody else's past to destroy them. Satan uses all of your failures against you. Satan reminds you of every fault that you've ever done. Satan knows the sins of your desires and the sins of your bedroom. Satan knows all the sins you've committed since you've been saved. And when he tells you, are you saved? Are you really a child of God? When he tells you, you can't make it as a Christian, just quit. When our hearts are heavy and it seems that sin is causing us so much chaos, Satan hinders us when we need to spend time with God. Have you ever noticed when it's time to read your Bible? Phone rings? That's what they make answering machines for. But it's amazing. Somebody will sit down and read their Bible. Oh my goodness, I just got a text. Somebody's texting me. Oh, my Facebook page went off. It's amazing how many distractions we have available. And when you need to spend time with God and you're needing your Father, it's amazing how many distractions. We'll be soul winning in a house telling somebody about the Lord. And sure enough, I'm amazed at how many people are controlled by their dogs. Started to try to show one person, oh, my dog needs me. Ma'am, I just said, okay, well, have a good day. I wanted to say, ma'am, if you don't get saved, you're going to die and go to hell. The dog can wait. Put the dog out back. But do you know what? When we're knocking on doors and taking by open the Bible, all of a sudden, and I'm just amazed. Man, put the dog outside. I didn't say beat the dog or kick the dog. I said just put the dog outside. Put the dog outside and look at something eternal instead of letting little things that aren't eternal control them. It says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. The accusing dragon is always silenced, praise God, by the blood of the Lamb. All you need to defeat Satan's accusation
is the weapon of atonement. That's why we read earlier, we read as a church, Romans chapter 8, verse 31. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? This morning, listen closely. If you're battling depression, the blood of the Lamb can dissolve the iron bars of despair. When you're weak spiritually, you can meet the enemy with the blood of the Lamb, and God says, overcome him and have victory and conquer. Hebrews 9:14 says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? The word of your testimony is telling people that you're saved by the blood of the Lamb. Soul winning is a command. Yes, every Christian is supposed to go soul winning. But it strengthens you spiritually when you tell others about your salvation. All right? Testifying of the blood of the Lamb drives away a lot of stupid satanic heresies. The blood of the Lamb washes away sin. No, baptism does not wash away sin. Jesus got baptized, but it wasn't because he had sin to be washed away. He got baptized because he was starting his ministry, and that's when the Holy Ghost descended as a dove on him and God spoke from heaven. But Jesus didn't get baptized to wash his sins away. No, baptism doesn't wash your sins away. The blood of Jesus washes your sins away. That's one heresy that takes away. How about this? Jesus is God Almighty in the flesh. He's not just a prophet. He's not just a God. He is the God who shed his blood on the cross. That's how come his blood is able to wash away our sin. That's why I tell the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons, I'm sorry, do you believe Jesus is God? Well, no. There's the Father and then there's the Son. I said, and that's how come you can't be saved. Your Jesus' blood can't wash away sin. My Jesus' blood can. The blood of Jesus, understanding it, destroys heresies. I love this thought. Allah didn't die for your sins. But I think it's sad, and I tell the Muslims, isn't that sad that your God didn't die for you but expects you to die for Him? What a tragedy. My God died for me. And that's what makes our religions different. Mine is truth. Yours is satanic error. The word of your testimony about a bleeding Savior softens the rebellious hearts of men. Satan makes sin seem pleasurable, but when you look at the cross and how Jesus suffered, it shows how bitter and how shameful sin is. People who know they're sinners don't like facing the fact of coming judgment, and they're disarmed when they hear that the one they sinned against was tortured to death for them. The weapon that overcomes Satan is the blood of the Lamb. How are we supposed to use it? Revelation 12:11, by the word of their testimony. And then the last part of Revelation 12:11 says this, and they loved not their lives unto the death. There has to be some commitment and devotion to Christ because of His love for you. If you don't love your life unto the death, then you do let Jesus change your lifestyle. I know some people this way. I'll let Jesus save me, but He better not change my music, my friends, my clothing, the list goes on. Can Jesus affect your lifestyle? If you love not your life unto the death. In other words, they were saying, I don't care if my Christianity costs me my life. And you know what? I praise God for America and our freedoms, but you hear what's going on over in the Middle East and the death sentence that they're giving those Christians over there and the Christians in Egypt? Muslims knocking on the door and throwing acid in the Christians' faces. Raping the wives and the daughters in front of them. That is happening every day. Our media won't tell you about it. It's happening in Iraq. It's happening in Iran. We don't know anything about that. And I'm glad. I don't want it here. But I'm just saying, I'm in no threat tomorrow. Praise God, this morning, we're not in any threat of the police breaking in here and taking us all to jail because we're in church. And I'm glad. I don't want that. I don't want it to change. But Christian,
if you love not your life unto the death, then there's nothing the Lord should not be able to ask of me or you. Then there shouldn't be anything off limits in your life. If you love not your life unto the death, then you'd speak of the blood of the Lamb that saved you to lost people, not just other Christians. If you loved your life not unto the death, then you wouldn't care what science says they've discovered. You believe the Bible because it's God's Word. If you loved not your life unto the death, then family can't threaten you or silence you. I've talked with one Christian a couple of weeks ago. They said, if I go to church, I'm scared what my family's going to think. Their family is controlling them. I'm not trying to get anybody to make an enemy of their family. I'm for family. But when you start putting it should not fit in your eternal destiny. I heard one person say, well, we've never been to anything but this type of a church. Well, did that church show you how to get saved? Then maybe it's a bad church. Maybe it's a bad church. Christian, if you love not your life unto the death, listen closely, then the loss of your reputation in the sight of men wouldn't mean as much as your testimony before the Lord. If you love not your lives unto the death. You know what scares me about our teenagers? It's when we give everything to them and they don't have to fight for anything. I love our kids, but they never have to fight for the Bible. They never have to fight for what they believe. And their Christianity, literally, and I'm glad, and kids, I don't want it any different for you, but I'm just scared. I don't want anything to happen to you, but when you don't have to fight for anything, then what is precious to you? When your Christianity, and I made the statement in Sunday school, when your Christianity costs you nothing and there's no sacrifice, then there is also no growth. Is it okay if your Christianity costs you something to follow the Lord? That's something that every Christian has to come to grips with. What happens if they don't like me? I want God's approval. And I don't want anybody to dislike me. But if my faith and my stand on the Bible and my love for the Lord causes you to depart from me, then I will pray for you and I'll love you and I'll help you, but I cannot come after you. My walk with God, Christian, your love for the Lord should mean more to you. You say, where'd you get that from? Revelation 12:11. They loved not their lives unto the death. It was a commitment and a devotion. May the Lord help us to be a faithful witness to the blood of the Lamb in the midst of an ungodly world. Let me just read the verse. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. What makes us more than conquerors? The tool we've been given by God is His death, the blood of the Lamb. This morning, I hope the Lord helps you with it. If you've never been forgiven of your sin, and if you're not a child of God this morning, if you've never received the Lord Jesus as your Savior, could I just encourage you, to be saved is so simple. It's trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Let's all pray together. Father, please, I wish, Lord, that you could use this truth in every Christian's life. And Lord, where some are struggling, where some feel weak, and Lord, I think where some feel depressed, where some feel hurt, I just wish that, Lord, you could let them see that they could have victory if they would just...